Ramsey TV.
It is Friday morning, and welcome to MZ TV. Imagine this. In 6 hours, I'm going to be getting on a plane, and tonight, I'm going to see some of you watching this show right now at the home. I'm going to see you at the home of Michael Knotts in Mansfield, Missouri. It's just unbelievable. I can hardly believe it's going to happen. I can hardly believe I'm going to see you, the saints, members of the body of Christ. Many of you I have never met before. I am so looking forward to it. In fact, I want to make a happy noise with this bottle of Pellegrino carbonated sparkling water. Yeah, that's how good it is. That is how good it is. Right now from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, but in a few hours in the middle of the woods, in the central area of what we would call Missouri. Looking forward to seeing you. I got a belated birthday card. I have to share this with you before I get to the epic topic of less than nil and a chaos. These words today are hitting me like poetry. Less than nil and a chaos. These are inspired words tried 7 times by God and passing muster to be included in the scriptures. If you ever feel intimidated or under the weather, or like you just can't handle the world anymore, I want to tell you exactly what God thinks of the nations of this world, and this will comfort you immensely, because the last shall be first. Oh, I got to show you this birthday card, but before that, I have an order here. I have my talks ready for the conference this weekend. Now, if you're not planning on going, if you're watching the show and you haven't made plans and you thought, well, I really would like to go, but I just can't, circumstances prevent me. After you hear my topics, you are going to find a way. You are going to get on a train or plane or an automobile, and you're going to get to Missouri. I have 8 talks planned. There are other speakers. I'm not the only guy talking, but listen to this. How I got here, that's the least of everything, how I got here. Who cares about me? Maybe some people. It's kind of an introduction. The humanity of Christ, the beauty of spirit, the day Paul sailed to Philippi, the salvation of everything, the insanity of eternal torment, the dual realities of death and resurrection, and God's fascination with Christ. Yes, these are the topics that I was inspired to write down this morning at 3:30 in the morning. I woke up like, bing, 3:30. What the hell am I doing up at 3:30? Oh, I all of a sudden started thinking and thinking of things. I wrote down these titles. And then today, it was later, way later in the day, probably around 4:45 a.m., I thought of a topic that I want to do Saturday evening at the home of Michael Knotts after the main conference at the wedding hall. I got a topic that's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind, and I want to do it Saturday evening. I'm not going to tell you right now. You'll just have to wait and see what it is. Don't worry. I shouldn't tell you this. Those of you who are thinking of, like, we got to get there. Harold, we got to go to Martin's in this conference. We've doubted him so many times. I've criticized him constantly, yet I don't think I can look away. I've got to be at the conference. Well, okay, come to the conference, okay? Come to the conference. If I told you what I'm going to talk about Saturday night, you would definitely come, but I can't tell you now. I'm going to save it for Saturday. But I'm going to talk about something that's going to, well, I hate to use a cliche, but blow your mind. I got a belated birthday card from Kara Lee in Canada. Kara Lee, thank you for this card. This is a hilarious card. It really got me. It really got me. Really got me good. This is what it says if you're watching the kitchen cam. Once upon a time, a very special person was born who was destined to change the world. I'm like, Kara Lee, so wonderful. I thank you for saying that. Yes, I guess I have changed the world. So sweet of you to recognize that, especially on my birthday. And then you open the card and it says, calm down. It's not you, it's Jesus. Oopsie, caught me. Oh my God, you caught me thinking it was me. And then I was like, no, it's Jesus. Calm down. You're not all that great. This actually ties in with my talk on Sunday morning, God's fascination with Christ. He's not so fascinated with me. He's fascinated with Christ. Yeah. So thank you, Carolee. Very clever card. You caught me on that one. Yeah, you got me. All right, now, less than nil. Nil, we have a word called nil. It's like nil. Nil is negligible. It's nothing. It's like zero. But the nations are considered by God to be less than nil. And in case you haven't noticed, you're surrounded by chaos. You think you're chaos? You think you got problems? No, you're the most orderly individual in the entire universe, or at least on the earth, because right now the nations are in chaos. And so don't let the world practice that classic psychological phenomenon known as projection on you, where they project their problems on you. They're the ones that have the problems. I have to sneeze. Oh, that felt so good. Thank you. I'm sorry to disturb you that way, but I got great deliverance. The world tries to project their problems on you. The world's crazy. They try to make you feel like you're crazy. No, I'm going to give you a scripture from Isaiah chapter 40 to prove to you that you are the sane one. As cuckoo as you might be, as unsettled as you might be, as hobbled and damaged as you think you are like sliced bread compared to the nations at large, okay? You've got it all going on. You are poised for greatness. God's going to do something with you that he's not planning on doing with everybody else. So a few days ago, I was in Isaiah chapter 40, but I missed a very important part of Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to review that with you right now. Do you remember this from Isaiah chapter 40? I started in verse 12 with a question: who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand? You remember that? I was trying to tell you by quoting the prophet Isaiah. I love that guy, how great God is. And I said that God is going to shake the nations and all the cities of the nations will fall. And some people think, well, that's a lot. How can God do that? I mean, the nations, wow. All the cities, they're so heavy, the cities are. And they have buildings made of glass and steel. No. God is so much greater than that. And all the waters of the earth fit in the hollow of his hand. Remember this? He gauges the heavens with a span. That is the width of three fingers. Boom, boom, boom. That's the whole universe to God. Contains the soil of the earth in a peck measure. You remember that? Weighs with a balance, the mountains, a little scale, like you would weigh your food. If you're on a diet, you take some turnips or you take some oatmeal and you weigh it on a scale. Well, God weighs the entirety of all the mountains on the scale, and the hills as well. Well, if he does the mountains, the hills is not such a big deal. Who gauges the spirit of Yahweh and is informing him as a man of his counsel? Nobody tells God something that he doesn't already know. With whom does he take counsel? Nobody. What I want to do now is go to the verses before it and after it. The verses that I didn't give you when last we spoke on Isaiah chapter 40. And here we go. I'm going to start with verse 4. Great stuff here. I know this is in the Hebrew scriptures. I know this is not Paul's gospel, but this is what I call transadministrational truth. This applies to everything. This is big. You can use this. You need this. Listen to this. Verse 4, Isaiah chapter 40. Every ravine, it shall be lifted up. A ravine is a valley, a little low place. Every ravine, it shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill, they shall be brought low. This is that classic thing, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. If you are feeling last, if you are feeling like a valley, if you are feeling like you're abandoned, if you are feeling like the lowest human being on the face of the earth, I got good news for you, is you shall be lifted up. And every mountain, every hill, that is, the chiefs of this eon, those who consider themselves masters, the kings, the priests, the royalty, the celebrities, glitterati, all these will be made low by God. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. The crooked will become straight, and the knobby terrain a level valley. Now, I know this is talking about the earth, but this is also parabolic. It's metaphoric. It's talking about you as well. The knobby terrain, a level valley. Knobby terrain. If you look out on some land out there, especially those of you who maybe ride mountain bikes or motorcycles or those who hike trails, the earth is very knobby. You might feel that way. You might feel that you are uneven. You're not consistent. You change your mind all the time. Your plans change all the time. Things you want to happen don't happen. And you look at your body in the mirror and it looks knobby. Oh, Harold, my body is so knobby. Does it look knobby to you? The correct answer to that, if you're Harold, is no, you look great. Yes, you must lie to your woman when she says, does my ass look big in this dress? You must say no, unless, well, never mind. Every mountain and hill, they shall be brought low. The crooked will become straight. Again, crooked, look at the kitchen camp, crooked. Everything that's crooked will be made straight. So really, I think that there are many people in the body of Christ, no, all of you, who feel like you wish you were better. You wish you had more resolve. You wish you could make better resolutions. You wish you could follow through with them. Maybe you've done some things in your life that are just no good, that are crooked. Maybe you've done some things in life that, maybe you've cheated at a few things. Well, this says that the crooked will become straight. One thing I will say about you, because I know you, is that you know who you are. You confess your weaknesses. You have no pretensions that you're better than you are. In fact, you know that you're the lowest of the low. That's good. Stay there, because you are primed to become straight, because God is able to make you straight. God loves nothing more than to take people who acknowledge their helplessness, who acknowledge their knobbiness, who acknowledge their crookedness, and then say, Lord, please deliver me. And he is going to deliver us. He is going to take us from mortality to immortality in a moment, in an instant, at the casting of an eye at the last trump. It's going to happen in an instant. So don't sweat it. The glory of, listen to this, verse 5, Isaiah 40, the glory of Yahweh will be revealed. Right now it's concealed. The glory of Yahweh is concealed. There's a verse, I think it's Ephesians 3:21, to God be the glory for the eons of the eons, amen. To God be the glory for the eons of the eons, amen. The eons of the eons, a specific phrase in the Greek. Do you believe this? The King James and other versions, all the common English versions, make that forever and ever. Unbelievable. To God be glory forever and ever. It sounds so great to them. It sounds so holy forever and ever. But it misses the Greek. The Greek has the word ion, which is eons. It has the genitive case in there of the, and this is ruined by saying forever and ever. So God will get glory for the eons of the eons. He is speaking there, Isaiah, of the last two eons, the eons of the eons, just like the holies of the holies were the two holiest places of all the holy places. That is the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies, compared to like the courtyard of the priests, the courtyard, the court of the women, the court of the Gentiles. Those are all holy places, part of the temple enclosure. But the holies of the holies were the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies. So likewise, the eons. There are two eons where God is going to get glory. He's not getting glory now. No, he's not. He's being diminished. He's being flipped off by many people. He's being cursed. And many people don't even think he exists. But he's going to get glory in the last two eons. The last two eons, there are five eons in total. Don't want to go over that now. Don't have time. There are five eons. The first three are kind of crappy. No, actually, very crappy. We're living in the crappiest of all the crappy eons, as I explained to you a couple days ago. The current wicked eon, I think it's Galatians 1:4. And the weekend is coming. The weekend is the last two eons, and God will get glory. the glory of Yahweh will be revealed. If you think it's revealed now, it's not. It's hinted at in creation, in the sun and the moon. And you look at the plants and the animals, you see the beauty. I was looking at Charles today. Charles had a problem with his ear. And Juliana was like pushing his ear back because we needed to get air to his ear. He had some kind of infection. You wonder where I'm going with this. Hang tight. And she pulled his ear back and I saw the hair. The hair of his body ended at a certain point in his ear. And then from that point forward, it was all skin. It was pink. But the hair graduated like my hair here. I don't want to show you my hair close up. But anyway, see, I got this hair here. And it graduates. But this is artificial because I shaved this. Charles is natural. Anyway, I was staring at that hair today. And I was marveling at how God designed Charles and designed the hair of his ear to end at a certain place. And so the rest of his ear would be flesh and not hair. For whatever reason God had, I don't know. But I saw the glory of God in creation. I saw the glory of God in the creation of a dog named Charles. But the glory of Yahweh in all his radiance, even greater than the ear of a dog, will be revealed. This is scripture. This is prophecy. This is guaranteed to happen. All flesh will see the salvation of Elohim. A little hint of the salvation of all there. Don't you see that? All flesh will see the salvation of Elohim. For the very mouth of Yahweh it has spoken. Is that good enough for you? The mouth of Yahweh? The mouth of God, Yahweh, is a title of God, and it means will, being, and was. It's called the Tetragrammaton. It contains four letters, YHWH, and if you break those down, it's a time name, and it means will, that is future, being, present, and was, past. Contains everything. All flesh will see the one who contains all time and even exists beyond time. For the very mouth of Yahweh, it has spoken, a voice saying, proclaim. And I said, this is Isaiah speaking, what shall I proclaim? The answer, all flesh is grass, and all its glory is as the blossom of the field. Grass dries up, blossom decays. For the Spirit of Yahweh, it turns about against it. Surely the people are grass. Yeah, grass dries up, blossom decays, yet the word of our Elohim, it shall stand firm for the eon. I love this. I don't care. I am happy to hear that my flesh is going to decay. I have no problem with it because I have a body reserved in the heavens, and so do you. Many people would read this and say, wow, Isaiah is comparing flesh to grass, and we know grass here today, gone tomorrow. It decays. Surely the people are grass. Grass dries up. Otherwise, in other words, the people will dry up. You're going to dry up apart from the snatching away. I don't care. Dry me up. I'm tired of this body. This body, if you're anywhere over 30, your body fails you every year. You have to fight like hell just to stay above water, to take care of yourself, to keep yourself going. Yeah, I'm ready for the change, and so are you. And here it is. Grass dries up, blossom decays, yet the word of our Elohim, it shall stand firm for the eon. The word of our Elohim. It's the word of God, Elohim. You notice he's not using Yahweh here, he's using Elohim. There's a reason for that. Yahweh is his time name. It speaks of what he does in our world with us. Elohim is a higher term. It has the root word El, meaning subjector. This is the one, capital O, who subjects things to himself. It's the one who makes things happen. And when he speaks, it happens. And it says here that the word of our Elohim, it shall stand firm for the eon. I bank on those words. I depend on those words. If the word of Elohim doesn't happen, we're all screwed. But I count on it completely to the point that I would even be okay with my body drying up, because I know I have a body reserved for me in the celestials. I left off in Isaiah 40 when I said, behold, all nations are as a drop from a bucket. You've heard the phrase, a drop in the bucket? This is where it comes from. It comes from Isaiah 40, verse 15. All nations. Do you realize that we're surrounded by nothing but nations? What is there except nations on the earth? These nations are as a drop from a bucket, as dust on the scales are they accounted. This is an amazing phrase. I didn't pause enough here last time to really appreciate this or cause you to appreciate it. Dust on the scales. Dust. You get that stuff on your furniture. You get it on top of your television. You get it on your table. Dust is everywhere. I don't know where the hell this stuff comes from, but dust on a scale. If you took all the dust in your house, it would only be like, have you ever seen those dust bunnies? They call them dust bunnies. They're a collection of dust that form like under your bed miraculously. You pick them up and they're like tumbleweeds, except they're dust weeds. Imagine putting that on a scale. It wouldn't even register. That's what the nations are to God. All the nations are as nothing. Oh, I'm going to get there. Wait. As dust on the scales are the nations accounted. Behold, like thinnest gauze, he lifts up the coastlands. Talked about that before. And Lebanon is not sufficient for consuming. I have no idea what that verse means. And all its animals are not sufficient for an ascent offering. I think I know what that means, but I don't feel like expounding upon it. This is what I want. This is what I've been waiting for days. I'm going to get back to Romans 11. I know I left you hanging. I'm going to get back to it on Monday when I get back from Missouri. But listen to this. Verse 17. All the nations are as nothing in front of him, less than nil, and a chaos are they accounted by him. All the nations, everything making you tremble. We have an election coming up. Ooh, it's so brutal to our senses. It's so able, really, to cause us worry and distress. And the nations today are in turmoil, and there's wars and rumors of wars. And yet, verse 17 of Isaiah 40 says, all the nations are as nothing in front of him, and he is our friend. Keep this in mind all the way through, please. He is our friend. He is our father. We are in an intimate relationship with him. We are on his lap. He is like our daddy. He's not like this with everybody. He is not. I told you yesterday about the kindness and the severity of God. Behold, the kindness and severity of God. Paul mentions that in Romans 11. I mentioned it to you yesterday. God's kindness is on us. The world is going to feel his severity because they have not been called into his confidence. They have not been given faith in this eon. We have. We've been called out early. And so this one who reckons the nations as nothing, as less than nil and a chaos, this one is our friend. We're on his team. We have nothing to worry about. The one who considers the nations, which is everything you're surrounded by, the one who considers them as nothing, the one who considers them as less than nil and a chaos. Do you wonder why you're having a bad day? The nations are chaos. You wonder why you're having a bad day? Because this is an evil eon. As I told you, this is an eon of shit. You remember I told you that. It's not an eon of grace. It's an eon of shit that contains a message of grace because it's a chaos. It's a chaos. I was so excited when I saw less than nil and a chaos. I thought, why am I worried? Why am I being intimidated by politics, by nations, by events, by the news, when all the nations are as nothing in front of him and less than nil and a chaos are they accounted by him? Less than nil and a chaos. That's going to help you. I want you to memorize this phrase, less than nil and a chaos. What do you think of the world? What are you being vexed by? What are you being disturbed by? Well, the world. The nations. Well, how do you account those nations? Well, I account them as God accounts them. How is that? Less than nil and a chaos. Why should I worry about a chaos? And if it's defined as a chaos, what am I going to do to change the chaos? What am I going to do to make something less than nil better? Am I going to make it graduate to nil? Oh, congratulations. You worked hard all your life. You drove and you strained and you turned less than nil to nil. Yes, it would take centuries of effort to bring less than nil up to the level of nothing. Less than nothing. We strained all our lives and we fought and we brought things to nil. Oh, congratulations. That's better than less than nil. Way to go. But nothing from nothing leaves nothing. I'm so excited about this phrase that I decided I probably should design a t-shirt. And I'm going to show you this to close the show. I designed a t-shirt, and this is it. This lovely young lady is modeling it. I hope you can see her here, because I can't see what I'm showing you. T-shirt, less than nil and a chaos. This lovely young woman is demonstrating. I think that this is poetry. Less than nil and a chaos. The next time you're disturbed, the next time you're feeling down, the next time the world, the nations of the world are trying to project their BS on you and to try to make you think that you're the crazy one. Classic case of projection. Try to make you think that you're the crazy one. You're not. They're the crazy ones. I want you to remember this phrase. This is the inspired word of God. I've never seen this verse. I've read the Bible like multiple times, but for some reason I didn't realize the import of this. Less than nil and a chaos. Why would you be disturbed by something that's less than nil and a chaos? Wait a minute. You thought you were a chaos? No. The world is a chaos. Compared to the world, less than nil and a chaos, you are, by the grace of God, a frickin' genius.